Numbers tonight in chapter 13. From verse 30 we read, and perhaps three or four verses right down into the 14th chapter of the book of Numbers. From the 30th verse of chapter 13. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all of the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron and the whole congregation, and said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. Wherefore hath the Lord brought us up into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all of the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we had passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear you the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is parted from them, and the Lord is with them. The Lord is with us, fear them not." But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, "How long will this people provoke me, and how long will it be ere they believe me for all of the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with a pestilence and disinherit them, and make of thee a greater and a mightier nation than they." And Moses said unto the Lord, "Then the Egyptians shall hear it. But thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all of this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he has slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great according as thou hast spoken, saying, the Lord is long-suffering, of a great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquities of the father upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Now pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according unto the greatness of thy mercy, as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even until now. And the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. But as truly as I live, all of the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Our Father, we thank you tonight, for you have given us the truth of the word, the power of the word. Now give us the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon the word, and quicken it to our hearts as we have come, praise God, into your presence tonight. Glory to God. We may claim your victories in our own lives, that tomorrow we may win battles for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And from this scripture passage in which I've read to you, and especially from verse 30 through verse 33, I would like to use this thought for a text tonight, if you want the text, if it'll help you out. I'd like to use this thought. They said that it could not be done. They said that it could not be done. The 10 spies had returned. They had been over in the 13th chapter, and they had picked them up. They had searched the land, and two of them, Caleb and Joshua, had brought back this wonderful report and brought back these big, luscious bunches of grapes and pomegranates and all of some of the goodnesses of the land, and said, "Let's go. We haven't got time to wait. Let's move. Let's do it now. God will give us this land." And the majority of the spies got and told the children of Israel, "It is a good land. There's a lot of wonderful things over there. But let me tell you, everywhere we passed, we saw great men, big men. They looked like giants. They were the sons of the giants. And we looked like little bitty wee grasshoppers in their sight. This is just absolutely impossible. And there's too many of them. We can't do anything about this." And so they murmured against them, and I read this in your presence. But then Caleb and Joshua stilled the people again and told them what they had actually found. They said, "It is exceeding good. It's full of wonderful food. The Lord delights in us. He's going to bring us into this land. He promised to bring us in this land when we left out of Egypt. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for these people that are in the land are bread for us." And not only this, their defense has departed from them. They have no defense. They're our bread. They're our livelihood. We're going to have what they have, and we can live and eat because they're there, and their defense is parted from them, for the Lord God is with us. But then the children of Israel, the congregation, said, "Let's stone them." And only the Lord intervened and kept them from stoning them to death. But these 10 spies came back and said, "It can't be done. We're nothing but grasshoppers." But there was a tremendous difference in the report of these spies than the ones that Caleb and Joshua came back. And now in connection with this, I'd like to read another scripture to you before I really go into the message. And this is in the book of Romans. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Romans in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And begin about verse number 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sore? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all of the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all of these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. For we are more than conquerors." Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want you to notice this thought with me now. Christians, real Christians that know God, like Caleb and Joshua, and have had an experience with God, they see the unseeable thing. And some people tonight ask me again about the Talmadge Butlers. And I said, "Well, I know the report that has gone, and I heard the testimony that they're fixing to have a memorial service Sunday, and that this man is given so much for memorial and everything, but somehow seems like way down inside me yet. You know, old Talmadge may be over there and dug him a little cave in one of them little sandy islands off of there somewhere. And he may still come forth. You can't tell what God may do. I don't know. I haven't believed it yet, really, that he's gone. I may be. I'm not saying he isn't, but I still have a little feeling inside me somewhere there that he may show up. You can't tell about this. So I don't know what you call that, whether that's faith or what he wanted to say. But anyway, the Christians that really know God see the unseeable. Now, Caleb and Joshua, they didn't look at these giants. These men and these people over there, you know what they looked at to these people? They said, "These people are our bread. Praise God. No need to worry about them. Thank God, for they're our bread," because they don't have any defense. Their defense is already gone, because they have heard how God has already brought us from the land of Egypt all of this way, and they know that we're standing on their border right now, and the fear is in them, and they have no defense. What can they do? All they can do is feed us. They're our defense. But the others said, "They're like giants, and we're like grasshoppers, and they'll kill us." But the Christian, the real child of God, is trusting the Lord, sees the unseeable. The Christians believe the unbelievable thing. A thing that's absolutely unbelievable. They believe it. And then the Christians go further than that. They attempt the impossible. Amen? They attempt the impossible. They said, it's impossible for you to do this thing. But yet, with man it is. But with God, God said, all things are possible to them that believe. For we're more than conquerors, thank God, through him that loved us. More, praise God, than conquerors through him that loved us. And so, I want you to notice a few things that the people have said through the Bible, and God has given to us as a record here, that they said it could not be done. Just a few things that they said that could not be done. And first one is that they said an old man cannot be born anew. Nicodemus, this great ruler of the Jews, had heard about these marvelous things that was taking place. And he made an appointment, and he came to this man by night, and he said, I know that there's something to this. You must be a great man and a great teacher that's come from God, for no man can do the things that you're doing. And Jesus said, I'm telling you, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Nicodemus opened with his question. Jesus knew what his question was before he came to him. He knew exactly what he came for. But Nicodemus hadn't yet said what he had come for. But my friends, he said, I know that you are a great man that's come from God, because no man can do these miracles. Then Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must be born again. And then Nicodemus came with his question. And he said unto him, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Why, Jesus, this is impossible. I know you're a great man. I know you're a great teacher. It's come from God. But this can't be done. I'm an old man. I've been here a long time. I know a lot of things. I've seen a lot of babies perhaps born. I know that this is an impossible thing you're telling me here, that I've got to turn around and go back and be born again. And Jesus answered and said, except a man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not, he said, that I say unto you, must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how, Lord, how? Tell me how. I'm not able to understand this. I'm an old man. This is impossible. It can't. It absolutely can't be done. And I believe that you and I perhaps would have been saying the same thing had we been there and had not experienced what we've already experienced tonight in the Lord. And Caleb and Joshua had been there and had seen some miracles and things that God had already done when he had brought them out of Egypt's bondage. And he had fed them and he carried them, my friend, and he shadowed them from the desert sun. And he had sent the pillar of fire to warm them by night. Thank God. And he fed them, and he gave them water where there was no water, out of a dry rock. Oh yes, it can be done. But my friend, it had been done, and Caleb and Joshua had been recipients of it. But Nicodemus had not been recipient as yet. And Jesus said, I said unto him, Nicodemus, the wind blows where it listeth. There's no rain on it. It goes where it wants to go. Thou canst not, wind blows where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. And so is every man that is born of the Spirit. Praise God. He said, Nicodemus, you can see the effects of the wind, but you never see the wind. And so it is. It's the effects of the Spirit of God upon the heart of a man that can take him back even past his conception and bring him again and make him a new creature in Christ Jesus and roll the old burden from off of his heart. And that that can't be done by man is done by God. Oh, friend, there's not a one of us in here tonight that could come and have eternal life. And as Paul testified, the poorest man that there is in the world that knows God is richer than the richest man on this earth, because no man can buy the plan of salvation. No man can get it back. It's impossible. But with God, all things things are possible. And you remember that moment of that hour, wherever it may have been in your life and in your own experience, when you knelt before God somewhere, a sinner, lost, undone, without God, sinking in despair. And then something began to blow upon the inner man, upon the heart. Maybe I'll get me a sermon on these heart transplants, for God's been in the heart transplanting business a long time. And my friend, he never has lost a case. Every one of these other fellows almost have died that they've transplanted a heart in. But listen, I want you to know tonight, over 37 years ago, God transplanted my heart, hallelujah, down at an old-fashioned altar. Thank God, even between breaths, without any pain, the flow of the Spirit, thank God, came, hallelujah. And the burden of that old life and the old man, I rolled from off of my heart. Can't be done, but my friend, in the power and the presence of God and His Spirit, the heart is made new and we have eternal life. Glory to God. Well, thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And they said that it's absolutely impossible for a wild man to be tamed. You will notice with me, if you want to turn over there and take a look at the story in Mark, the fifth chapter, in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark, and you'll read there, in especially from the third verse on, when Jesus came into the coast of the Gadareans, there was a man there that could not be tamed. They had bound him with chains. This man with fetters, and no man could tame him. No man could bind him. And he cried night and day in the tomb. But thank God, one day Jesus said to his disciples, said, row in the land over here. When he embarked on the land, this man came crying to him and said, why have you come to torment me before time? Why they come? And Jesus said, what's your name? He said, it's legions. There's so many of us that inhabit this man. There's so many in here that has him filled up. And they said, don't send us away. Just out in the country. Send us in these swine. And Jesus said, take your leave and go into the swine. The swine ran down the hill and they were drowned. And then, my friend, right away, you'll notice that they came and saw what had happened. And they began to pray, Jesus, depart from out of their coast, because all of their swine had drowned in the sea, and they wanted Jesus to leave. All men had marveled, but my friend, when they came and found this wild man, he was perfectly tame. He was sitting in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind. He returned to his family. They said it couldn't be done, but my friend, they had to meet the Master. Oh, glory to God, and that cannot be bound, and that it could not be tamed. Am I written by man the impossible thing? When Jesus came, glory to God, all that old song, when Jesus comes, all will be changed. And what a manifestation of God's power and glory when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart and life. And you take that scene, look at that man cutting himself, crying. Everybody was afraid to go near, and now he's sitting and clothed in his right mind. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And Jesus can do it for you, and he can do it for me. And that we have, and that thing that is tormenting us tonight, that we say it cannot be done, you just need to bring it to Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let me go a little bit further. In the sixth chapter of the book of John, there's another beautiful story. And these men had traveled with Jesus. And the day was wearing on, and Jesus finally turned and said to them, and especially in the ninth verse of that sixth chapter, I want you to feed these people. And the great question mark came up in the minds of the disciples. And the disciples looked with that long questioning face, and finally one of them broke through and said, Master, we don't have any money in the treasure, and besides that, you couldn't for 200 pennies worth buy enough bread to feed this crowd. And they said, well, have you got anything here? And finally somebody said, there is a lad here. There's a lad here with five little barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they, Master, among so many? Look at this crowd of people. It can't be done. You tell us to give them to eat. Send them home. Let them go home, every one of them, and they can find a little something to eat. Send them home. Master, send them home. It can't be done. And Jesus said, no, they're weary and they're faint and fall. By the way, feed them. Give them something to eat. Can't do it. The only thing that we can find in the whole crowd, 5 little barley loaves and 2 small fishes. And Jesus said, cause them to sit down on the ground. You know that story, my friend. Cause them to sit down on the ground. Thank God. And they sat down on the ground. And they, Jesus said, bring me of those barley loaves and 2 little fishes. Oh, glory to God. He really didn't need them, my friend. But he wants to use that that he's given to you in your hands. That that seems impossible to do as far as man is concerned. Jesus said, give me the 2 little fishes and the 5 little loaves. And he raised up his eyes and thanked his Father, and he started breaking off of the bread. Thank God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how the disciples, how the people must have felt as he continued to break on these 5 loaves and pinch off of these 2 fishes, until it said, when they were done feeding 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And Jesus said, get some of these baskets here and pick up the fragments that are left so that nothing should be lost. And they picked up 12 basketfuls of bread and fish left over from that that it was impossible, that that could not be done. Listen to me. You come here tonight in this Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I'm sure that there's things that's been going through your mind as I waited on God to give to me the message for the night. That you said this can't be done. Lord, I'd do it. I'd give them some money to help on the building program, and I can't do it. Lord, I'd give my kids some money, help them out of town. I can't do it. Lord, I'd pay my tithes, but I just can't live hardly on what I'm getting. And if I paid my tithes, I couldn't make it. Lord, I'd give an offering to the missionaries, but if I did that, I just wouldn't have enough to get along and pay my bills. It just can't be done. Friend, listen to me. If you will give those 5 loaves and 2 little fishes into the hands of God, of that that seems impossible is possible with God tonight. Hallelujah. For God has promised, hallelujah, that he would lead us and he'll bring us, our brother, into our Canaan just as surely as he promised the children of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt and carried them across that desert against all odds and all obstacles and all impossibilities to bring that many people across, that he would bring them. And now they stood on the borderland. Listen to me tonight. Are we going to stand on the borderland? Are we going to wait on the borderland? Friend, it's time for us to rise. It's time for us to move. It's time for us to pick up our cross and have revival. You say, preacher, you can't have revival. Oh, yes, we can. Glory to God, brother. The power and the anointing of the Spirit can break out across here in our souls until we can feed the 5,000 besides the women and children, and then pick up enough. Hallelujah. Left over, brother, to go on shouting our way to the kingdom of God. It can be done, amen, if you bring it to Jesus. And they say it can be done, that a suffering person can rejoice in his suffering. Is what they say. When you suffer, it takes all the joy away. You can't rejoice. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, verse number 10, he said, therefore, because of these things, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I read that a lot of times. And then I prayed and repented a lot of times. Because every time I was hurting, I was a grumbling. But see, this takes in more than hurting, too. Sometimes you suffer when you're not hurting physically. You suffer other ways. There's a lot of ways of suffering, you know. There's a lot of ways of suffering. And some of them, it'd be even better to suffer death than to suffer some of the things that we suffer. But Paul was reiterating all of the things, how he'd been shipwrecked, night and a day in the deep, and how he'd been preaching the gospel and how he'd been going through these rough, hard times. And then he said, I take pleasure in my infirmities, and God forbid that I should glory, saving the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. If you'll turn over the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, and you'll find another story in the Bible to give you the picture of what I'm talking to you about here. Thank God that it's impossible for a person who's suffering to rejoice in his sufferings. They'd been preaching the gospel, and they cast the devil out of a girl, and it made the people mad because cast the devil out because they was going to lose all their revenue. And I don't know how they was getting their revenue from her, but anyway, they was getting some revenue, and they cast the devil out of her and set her free and made her a Christian. She went on her way rejoicing, and they lost what they had, and they brought them up into court, and they falsely charged them and beat them and whipped them and took them down to the jailhouse and locked them in stocks. And there they sat until about midnight, and they rocked away, and they rocked away. And pretty soon, thank God, with their back bleeding and suffering, lacerated and torn, and their feet and their hands, one foot locked this way and the other locked this way, and there they sit. And about all they could do was kind of get in this kind of motion, you know. Amen. But you know, we don't have to get our bodies maybe in too much motion. If we can get our mind and our heart and our spirit in motion with God, God can take care of the other motions. God can take care of the thing we need. And pretty soon, old Paul looked over at his singer and said, Silas, you think you could hit the key? And old Silas said, I don't know, Paul. I'm awful sore and stiff now. My back is getting sticky and that blood is running down as we sit here, and it's about midnight. Praise God. And I don't know who Paul might have said, now, Silas, how about singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Glory to God. They may have started, I don't know, they may have started singing. There was an old account in heaven, and I settled it long ago. They may have started singing, my name is written down in glory. I don't know what they started saying, but anyway, the Bible said they begin to sing and they begin to praise God. Is sore and whipped and lacerated and torn in the midst of their suffering, they begin rejoicing God, hallelujah, and taking pleasure, it said, in mine infirmities. Thank God. And pretty soon, brother, an earthquake hit that old jail and shook it. And Paul looked around at Silas, and he was free. And Silas looked at Paul, and he was free. About that time, the jailer came in with his little light and standing there fearing and trembling, and all of the jail standing wide open. And Paul looked around and said, sir, well, put up your sword and don't kill yourself. We're all here. Nobody's run away. Nothing has happened. But God's come down and visited. And perhaps he took a little time out and shouted a little more. Oh, hallelujah. Have we lost the joy? Have we lost that victory that God gave us to rejoice in our trials, in our infirmities, in our afflictions, in our sufferings, in our anxieties? Hallelujah. Have we lost it? And it's all got to be lovely and rosy and beautiful for us before we can act and be like a Christian? No, no, my friend. God is just as real when you're way down and can't even feel him or find him than he is when you can always feel him and always find him. Hallelujah. He's here tonight, and you've come with that thing in your mind and said, it can't be done. But my friend, I'm telling you, if you bring it to Jesus, and you know the story, the jailer said, sir, what must I do? How can I get this? I want what you fellows have got. I thought all of you had run off. And old Paul said, sir, all you got to do is believe the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and God will save you and your whole household. Brother, he saved them. They went in and cooked them a supper that night. He baptized the whole bunch of and had a wonderful time. Glory to God. It can be done, my friend, in the midst of your suffering.
Yes, praise God.
They said it can't be done that a poor person can also be rich. But if I read the Bible correctly, in Romans, the 8th chapter and 17th verse, it says that I'm an heir with God, and I'm joint heir with Jesus Christ. And my Father has given him all authority, all power, and all dominion in the heavens and the earth, and all that is and ever was and ever will be is his. And I'm a joint heir with him. Glory to God. You say, why, you look like a pauper. I may look like it, but brother, I'm rich tonight. I know Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. And there's not enough a world let alone this little one you and I stick on. There's not enough worlds, planets, and everything else out there to buy one soul's salvation into the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know that old song we used to sing? I'm just as rich as you. I don't know if you ever heard that. I'm going to dig that out and sing that for you one of these times. I get on the program once in a while, guy. You ever hear it? I'm just as rich as you. Amen. My Father's richest in house and land. I'm just as rich as you. Glory to God. A Christian can be as poor as a beggar and be as rich as any king. Oh, glory to God. I feel my riches tonight. I feel my riches in Jesus. Hallelujah. That precious heritage, glory to God, that He has given us. Well, amen. Thank God. Hallelujah. And you know, I don't know who wrote that. I think some of them quartet singers, and I don't know if they really knew the Lord or not. They was writing this song, "Lord, just build me a cabin in the corner of glory, man." Well, I'd rather have a cabin up there and not get there at all. Amen. Yeah, I'd rather have a cabin and not get there at all. But I tell you what, I'd rather have just a little bit more than a cabin, wouldn't you? Amen. Lord, glory to God, glory to God. A Christian can be as poor, because there is an illustration in the 16th chapter. There was a poor man by the name of Lazarus, and he laid constantly at the rich man's gate, begging this rich man from the crumb that would fall from his table. The rich man passed him by, and John the Baptist holding a great revival meeting down there. He could never hear it. Lazarus died and was carried into the bosom. And the rich man died and was carried into hell. And the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, and he saw Lazarus over there, richer than any king that he had ever known. Oh, glory to God. My Father is rich. Hallelujah. How's his land? Hallelujah. Well, thank God. Thank God. Thank God. In the 9th chapter of the book of John, there is another story that I want to bring to you. And they said that it can't be done. And these fellows said that it can't be done. It cannot be done. And it says in the 9th chapter of the book of John, in the first verse, "And when Jesus passed by, there he saw a man that was blind from his birth. And the disciples said, 'Master, who did this sin, that this man should be born blind? His parents are who?' And Jesus answered, 'Neither is this man's sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifested in him.' And he said, 'I've got to work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm here in this world, I'm the light of this world.' When he had spoken this, he spit on the ground and took his finger and stirred up some clay with a spit." Now, the most of us, that would have caused us to rebel and run off. And I don't know how many times you had to spit, but you got to spit more than one time to make any clay ball, because I've made a few clay balls, and it takes a little bit more water than that. And he spit enough anyway there until he got that clay sticky enough and daubed that man's eyes full of it, that spit and clay that he'd mixed together, and said, "You go wash in the pool Siloam," and left him. And somehow that man went. He said, "I went to the pool Siloam, and I washed. And when I washed," he said, "I came forth seeing." And I want you to know that right after that, the neighbors therefore had knew this man all of his life, knew that he was a beggar, knew that he was blind. And some said, "This is him." And others said, "This is like him." And he said, "I am him." There's no guesswork about it. And these neighbors went on to say, "Therefore, who opened your eyes?" And he said, "I don't know, but it was a man called Jesus. And he spit and made some clay and anointed my eyes." You know, some of the things that people criticize around a Pentecostal church, people don't even realize maybe what God is doing. If Jesus would have been here and walked on that parking lot somewhere out there and spit in the ground and mix it up, I'll guarantee you 3/4 of the Pentecostal people would have went off criticizing him for spitting in the ground. Said he could have went and got some clean water somewhere and mixed it if he'd had to have it. But my friend, listen, Jesus don't do things the way you think that he ought to do them. He does them the way he wants to do them. Oh, hallelujah. I thank God. He spit on this clay and he said, "That man called Jesus told me to go wash in that pool, wash that clay out, and I received my sight." And they said, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know where he is." And they brought him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees examined him and said, "How'd you get your sight back?" He said, "Well, a man called Jesus, I spit on the ground and mixed up some clay and put in my eyes and told me to go to the pool. I saw him wash and I did, and I see." And the Pharisees said, "This man is not of God because he did this on the Sabbath day." You're not supposed to do it on the Sabbath day. You've got to do it just like we say, or it ain't going to be at all. And they said, "Well, I don't know about whether he's a man of God or a Sabbath." They said, "He's a sinner. He did it on the Sabbath day. And no man can do any miracles as this. A sinner can't do this kind of a thing." And they said to this blind man, "What do you say about it?" And he said, "Well, I guess he's a prophet." But the Jews, they said, he brought him before the Jews. And the Jews said, "We don't believe it, and we don't believe it." And they called his parents. And they said, "Is this your son?" "Yes, he's our son." "Was he born blind?" "Yes." "Then how does he see?" And the parents was afraid of the Jews, because the Jews had already talked among themselves and said, "If anybody takes any part of this thing, we'll throw him out of the synagogue and may even kill him." And so the parents didn't know what to do. And right away, I guess the Spirit must have prompted them. They said, "He's of age. Ask him. Don't ask us. Ask him. How you see?" And he said, "Well, what means?" And again, this old boy went over the same thing after they finally got to him, arguing about him being of age. And they said, "Now this man's a sinner. You give God the praise. And we know no man that's a sinner can't do this thing. And he did it on the Sabbath day. And they're not supposed to do that." And he answered and said, "Whether he be a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know, well, I've been blind all my life, and I can now see. Glory to God." Whether he was a sinner, "Oh, friend, can't be done," they said. "Listen, you read the rest of that. You read all that ninth chapter." If I had the time to go on and read this. And they reviled him and said, "You're his disciple. We're Moses. We know God talked to Moses, but this man, we don't know anything about this man." "Why," he said, "you don't know about this man? You mean to tell me you don't know anything about him? You don't know from whence he is, and yet this man has come along and opened my eyes, and you fellows around here, all you big religious, big wheels in the church, don't know anything about him?" "Why," I said, "we don't know. We know that God don't hear sinners." And that's what they told him. And said, "But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, why, he'll hear him. But since the world began," they said it, you notice in verse 32, "since the world began, it was not heard of. It absolutely is impossible that any man open the eyes of a man that's been born blind. It's never been done since the world has been standing. It can't be done." That man said, "I don't know about that, but I want to tell you one thing. I never did see until just a little while ago when I took them old clay balls into that pool Siloam, like he said, and I washed it. Now I see." Oh, glory to God. My eyes is full of light. Oh, thank God, thank God. Glory to God. And they cast him out. They cast him out and said, "You can't hang around this synagogue any longer. You can't beg any longer." They cast him out. And about that time, Jesus heard about it and found him. And he said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He said, "Well, if I knew who he was, I'd believe on him." And Jesus said, "Well, the one that's talking to you, that's him right now." Oh, glory to God. So he fell down and began to worship Jesus. It can't be done. Listen to me tonight. If you're in here, you're lost, backslid, away from God. Your heart is hard and cold and callous, because the devil has come along and he's telling you it can't be done. My friend, come to Jesus. They said, "Since the world has been standing, this is impossible. It never has been done, and it can't be done." But he did it. Amen. He did it. Let me close so we'll have time to pray. In the 11th chapter, the book of John, there's another story. Never had been done. They said it couldn't be done. And when Jesus finally got over to Mary and Martha's house, and they was all crying and weeping, and the Jews was crying and weeping, and Jesus said to her, "Martha, thy brother shall rise again. Don't weep and cry about it." "Oh, I know, Lord, at the last day, at the resurrection, that he's going to come forth." But Jesus said to her, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, glory to God. "And whosoever liveth in me shall never die. Martha, believest thou this?" And she said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said this, she went away and said, Mary, Jesus is here. And he said, Our brother shall rise again. Glory to God. When they came and they began to worship the Lord, and they said, Jesus said, Where have you laid him? Oh, Master, please. He's been dead for 4 days. And finally, he left and went with them, and a great procession went with him, and everybody was crying and weeping. And they said, Oh, how Jesus must have loved him, because Jesus, that's the only time it ever said he wept, because everybody else, I guess, was crying. And he blowed his handkerchief in his nose, and they said, Oh, how he must have loved him. And they said, Master, he's in the cave right there in the stone. He's been dead for 4 days in this hot human climate. He's stinking so bad. There's so much putrefaction in there. Master, please don't roll the stone away. Will you roll the stone? Oh, Master, you don't understand. You don't understand. He stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said, I am not unto thee. If thou wouldest believe, you'd just see the glory of God. They said, It's absolutely impossible. It can't be done. A dead person has never arisen again. A dead person that has been dead, he's never been able to come forth. And thy brother shall rise. Master, he's been dead for 4 full days. Roll away the stone. And finally, when Jesus convinced him to take the stone away, they took that stone away from the place where he was. Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee because thou hast heard me. I know that you've heard me always, but because of this people that stand by, I said it that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he spoke, he cried, Lazarus, come forth. He that was dead came forth bound hand and foot in the grave clothes. And Jesus said, Loose him and let him go free. Turn him loose. Hallelujah. Let him go. Let him come out of that tomb. Can you imagine what happened? I'd have sure liked to have been there. Oh, glory. So I wasn't privileged to be there at that one. But brother, I'm going to be privileged to be at the next one. Because one of these days the trumpet's going to sound. They said it's never been done. All these people have been buried. They're there and they're still dead. And they've turned back to the dust long ago. But one of these days, my friend, that never could be done is going to take place. And that trumpet sounds. Glory to God. And Jesus makes one call. Hallelujah. And every one of us that have trusted the Lord are going to stand forth. Praise God. But this time he'll not say, Take the grave clothes off of him and let him go. Brother, we'll be like him. Hallelujah. You talk about a triumphant shout. Have you come here tonight with questions in your mind saying, Well, I do thus and so, but it can't be done, my friend. Bring it to Jesus. Amen. Bring it to Jesus. That they could not be done. Hallelujah. It's impossible with man, for we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. Father, we thank you tonight because that you've heard us. We thank you for the message of the Word of God. Stir our hearts. Move our soul. Get us a little closer to you. Somehow, God, bring us into sweeter fellowship. Glory to God. Make us to know you, Jesus, a little more tonight than we've ever known. Oh, yes, a man from the dead had never been raised, but you brought him forth. A sinner, Lord, can be saved tonight. A backslider can come back home to Jesus tonight. Amen. A person's never been filled with the Holy Ghost can be full of the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Glory to God. Or one of these other things in our lives that can't be done, Lord, we bring it to you tonight. And you'll take care of it in Jesus' name. Will you stand with us as we sing tonight? And let's gather in the altars. It's early and it's plenty of time to pray. Let's seek God tonight and let's bring it to Jesus. That can't be done. They said it couldn't be done. But let's bring it to Jesus. If I'd have finished the story, you'd find that the children of Israel moved into Canaan's land. And they inhabited, they inherited, and they're there tonight. They're still there tonight. It can be done. Because God has said it so.
Only believe.
Praise God. What is your need tonight? What do you want Jesus to do for you and in your life? Only believe. All things are possible. Will you make your way to the altar with us tonight? Let's seek his face. Let's wait upon him. Let's find a place to pray. Let's find a place to talk to Jesus. Come on. Believe with us. Pray with us. Seek God with us. Touch God. Let him touch you tonight. Only believe. Friend, do you need to renew your consecration? Do you need to renew your fellowship in the Spirit? Do you need a new touch of the fire of God's Holy Spirit in your life? Are you just drifting on carelessly, flounting, faltering, trying to find? Lord, I believe. I believe. Oh, things are possible. Glory to God, I will tonight. I will, Jesus, I will.
Only believe. Only believe.
Praise God. Do you have a need? Do you want Jesus to meet your need tonight? Oh, thank God. For He's able. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above that you're able to ask or think. Only believe. Praise God. Lord, I believe. Lord, this is what Mary and Martha said. Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God. Whatever you ask, Lord, you're the Son of God. I believe it'll be as you said. Lord, I believe. Oh, I believe in Jesus. Glory, glory. These unspoken requests, Lord. These important needs, Lord. All things are possible.
Lord, I believe.
Yes, I believe it, Jesus. Amen, amen. I receive it now, Jesus.
Lord, I receive.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, I receive.
I receive, Jesus.
Lord, I receive.
Glory, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the
Lord.
I claim these promises, Jesus. Yes, oh, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.